Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Mark Woolard, author of The Stolen Adventure, a young reader adventure geared to what Mark calls reluctant readers. Definitely an interesting, relevant interview today as we learn more about Mark's firsthand experience on how to motivate reluctant readers to read. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Mark Woolard. Mark is an author from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who specializes in motivating kids to read, particularly those who do not identify themselves as avid readers. In addition to his work in storytelling, he is also a dedicated husband and father of three very active boys. For more information on Mark and his book, Google him or visit Amazon.com, or simply visit his soon-to-be-up website, www.thestolenadventure.com. Hi, Mark. How are you doing today?
Oh, very good, Susan. Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And for our listeners, Mark is the author of the book, The Stolen Adventure, which is a book that I thought it was wonderful. Ben Weldon, who reviewed the book for ReaderViews.com, unfortunately could not be here, but he gave him top marks on this book. Mark, tell me a little bit about yourself for our listeners to get to know you better.
I am a husband and a father of three, three boys ages 11, 8, and 5. Keeps me very busy, of course. I am a full-time marketing executive with a software company and also am fully dedicated to writing. And I started writing really because I found that in my sons, I have one who is an avid reader and two others who are what I would term as reluctant readers. And I really wanted to identify what was it that caused them to not be motivated to read and how I could go about creating stories that would help them become more engaged in the reading process.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I had one of my daughters was what you call a reluctant reader, and that idea didn't occur to me. How did that come about?
Well, I guess I could probably classify myself when I was at a younger age as a reluctant reader as well. And I've also done a lot of empirical research, particularly in the marketing field, specifically about what motivates people. And there were certain things that were easily identifiable as stumbling blocks, if you will, for people who are or kids that are looking to read. And it's everything from a lack of white space or too many long paragraphs on a page or too many words that a child doesn't have in their current vocabulary, or certain pacing, because reluctant readers are quite often kind of characterized as those who are looking for something perhaps a little faster pace than what the reading environment traditionally proposes for the reader.
What do you think the stories that you write makes your reluctant readers a little bit more interested into reading them, or why do they find it easier to read?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and it really depends on the individual, but certainly the pace of the story. In real life, we don't have a lot of description, let's say. We observe. And in my stories, what you'll find is that the pace of the storyline matches closer to what kids today are used to. And that's everything from their experience with television and the internet, and even in their day-to-day relations. There's never a person whispering in their ear telling them an entire background of an individual. They meet the person, and they really have to draw their own conclusions about the way the person acts or the things that the person says. I also find that characters and having relatable characters, if you can identify with a character within the story, certainly you're going to be more likely to become engaged in that story. So I try to have a diversity of characters that allow people to say, okay, I relate with Mom, or I relate with Dad, or I relate with Luke in this case, or Tommy, or Billy, or Katie, or Lynn. And really being able to associate with a character is very important to a child reader.
It's very interesting that you say this because I think that most authors and everybody on the book industry are still looking at books with the point of view of books without considering how the brain of this generation has changed because of all the interactive multimedia that the internet brought to them and the TV. I realized that the brain evolves differently than what it could have evolved with me when I grew up without a computer, for example. And I'm not going to say how old I am, but we didn't have computers. So it's very interesting that you, being a marketing background and not a psychologist or anything like that, took note of this. How does this point of view change your parenthood skills?
Being able to communicate with kids, and I certainly wouldn't call myself an expert, nor would I really say that there's anybody out there who's truly an expert, because every kid is different. Mm-hmm. But just like you said, the kids that are growing up today with the computers as their central means of entertainment, they communicate in different forms. And those forms are really much more abbreviated, let's say. There's, you know, things like Twitter and Facebook and so forth that really have people communicating in sound bites. And being able to communicate a full message in that sound bite is something that kids have become very adept at, and we as adults tend to get a little long-winded because we're trying to get everything in there, and they have that capability of being able to summarize and really get to the point of the matter. So what we're able to do as adults, we tend to do in paragraphs. Kids today do in bullet points and are able to communicate every bit as effectively because they understand one another. And it's very important that we as parents are able to find that way to take what we do, convert it to the way that they listen and hear.
That's very interesting. Do you find yourself communicating better, not only with your kids, but with that age group or all age groups, knowing what you know now?
Well, I think practice makes perfect, and certainly spending more time with kids. In addition to my writing, which is, of course, very important to me, I also spend a lot of times, I teach a religious education course and have done that for the past 10 years, and I am teaching kids on a weekly basis in that. I am a Cub Scout den leader, so I'm interacting with groups of kids all the time, and more the repetition really does make you better, and that's true in all things, whether it's writing or communicating or, you know, any kind of motor skill. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And just being able to relate and just accept that people are different. So kids are different too, and every single one of them brings something very valuable to the table. Understanding that, appreciating that, and finding the way to get to what it is that they do best is very important.
What do your kids think about you being a writer? Do they think they have the coolest dad of all times? Or
I think that my oldest son, he is 11 years old now, and the number of times that I will ask him to read something, and he's very good about it because he'll read it over and over again, but that's a very difficult thing for a kid, because once you fully understand a story, and now you're at a point of being an editor and a proofreader and so forth, it does become a little bit of work. But I have had the opportunity to go to their school and to speak in front of the classes, and they really enjoyed that. And then, of course, the fact that the characters, in some ways, the characters are fictional, but the fact that the characters are modeled around them to a certain extent has certainly been exciting for them.
That's awesome. Did you get to know yourself better by putting yourself, I mean, I know that when I write, I put myself in the character's perspective because I'm writing in their point of view. And so, for example, my book that was about my dad, I got to know my dad very well as a young boy because I was really, you know, doing research. How did they talk, for example, and stuff. I guess that it's easier for you being a male writer to relate to young boys. So I wonder, do you feel that you understand better today's children by just writing about them and creating adventures for them?
Well, I think I have grown to get to know what kids are like, but I think more of that has to do with having the experiences with them. Just this past weekend, of course, we were celebrating the 4th of July holiday, and we went with a group of us hiking in the Pocono Mountains, which is here in the eastern Pennsylvania region, and taking kids out of their normal element and getting them out into nature or into somewhere where maybe they're not as normally comfortable, and getting to see how they act and how they react, and that all becomes an influence in what I write. So I don't think it's so much that it's a constantly growing and learning experience for me, that I am constantly learning more and more about kids, and I try to let that portray in my writing.
You seem very active as a parent. So, and what is great is that when you're active as a parent, you're taking them away from TV, right? And you're taking them away from the computers a little bit and doing, creating memories by doing different things. So in all the compound things that you're doing with your children, you know, you're involved with nature, you're involving their spiritual and spiritual teaching with kids, and also as a father doing things. How do you find, I mean, maybe you can give us some tips being a writer and creating books for reluctant readers on how can we motivate our kids to unglue themselves from a screen and focus on a book?
Well, for all kids, it's going to be finding what interests them. And there are so many books out there that kids can find, whether no matter what their interest is, there's a book out there that has that kind of focus. And certainly I have found that starting them in the fiction world is a little bit easier to get a reluctant reader going. But ultimately you want to kind of get them and steer them in the direction of nonfiction and really let them really learn about the world around them. Certainly pulling them away from the TV, pulling them away from the internet, pulling them away from those devices that are so passively engaged, and getting them to actually do things, working with their hands, letting them find out about themselves through the different activities that you present. I have three different boys, and they are truly different. They, each and every one of them likes different things, and while there are certain things that together they like, I couldn't put any one of them into the same mold as the other. So you really have to, you know, in spending time with your kid, find out what they truly like, and then help them by introducing them into things that will help them grow. And certainly no expert, because every day is a learning experience for me, but I'm happy to make that journey with them, because it's a lot of fun and rewarding too.
Yeah. And when my kids were growing up, the computer was just, you know, like AIM, and they weren't really involved in e-books and interactive PDF formats or games, electronic games on the computer yet. My kids were more into just regular printed books. So I wonder, is the internet literature genre, I mean, way of communicating now, will this help? I mean, is it better just to get a printed book, or do parents do both with them? Or, I mean, how do you handle the internet literary ways of today with your kids when you're trying to get them out of a screen? That's confusing to me. I don't know what I would do if my kids were younger right now. So how do you manage to get them to read? Is it important, first of all, as a parent, to get them out of the screen even though they're reading an e-book? Or is that count like a print book? Or how do you handle all this technology bombarded to them, even on
the— I'm a little more old school myself, in that I really like the feel of a printed book and the page in my hand and so forth. And so I have large volumes of books and bookshelves that are just filled with everything from, you know, young readers to middle grade fiction to young adult to, you know, full, you know, adult material, and we have books all over our houses, or all over our house. But certainly we also have e-readers as well. As far as the separation is concerned, I do think that just like it's very important to change locations because it helps to trigger different memories, that separating them from the device is very important, so that there is a distinct difference between game time and reading time. And I think of that, and this is probably just a theory of mine, that it comes to reading comprehension as well, that if you have a book in your hands, perhaps it's time to really separate and take that understanding and comprehension to a different level. Whereas when you've got that gaming device in your hand, that perhaps that's the time when you can be a little more laid back and, as I described before, passive, allowing the device to do a lot of the work for you.
I kind of agree. Well, I didn't know better because there weren't e-readers at that time. But I must say that having my oldest daughter being a very avid reader, I mean, I collect antique books, and she would, when she was a toddler, she would walk around with a Pioneer Time grammatical English book. It was a little tiny book that was falling apart, but there was no way of me taking it away from her. And then my youngest one had nothing to do with books. She's a hands-on person, and I had the biggest trouble getting her interested in reading. And what worked was that separation. You know, we would take this little book that was not even fiction. It was fictional, but it was a collection of professional letters coming from the principal of a secretary book, and she was trying to get a fountain built in the school or something like that. It was a little book that was for sale that she got it, and I just took it because the cover called her attention. And the bonding time with her was that I would read, and she would listen, but she would turn the pages. So I think you're very right that there's something special about holding the book and that she was turning the pages. If it would have been an e-reader, I don't think we would have had that. You know what I mean?
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Mark Woolard, author of The Stolen Adventure. Stay tuned because we are going to continue this personal and insightful conversation with Mark about his own experience on motivating reluctant readers to read. But in the meantime, you can check out his book, The Stolen Adventure, in Amazon, or by visiting his soon-to-be-up website at www.thestolenadventure.com. So I think it's very interesting, even though that I love the e-readers now because I can make the font as big as I need to now that I'm almost blind. It's interesting. It's certainly a challenge for many parents to kind of come up with a balance, I would guess.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head, too, when you said that you spent the time reading with them. And ultimately, the influence that we as parents carry is so huge that if we read with them, the likelihood of them becoming more engaged in reading is greater. They're always going to need to find that which interests them. But if they see their parents do it, if they see their role models doing it, they emulate what we do. Mm-hmm. And they value the time that we spend one-on-one with them reading. And so you help to pass that on just by spending that time. And then if you found something that was uniquely special and creates that memory, and that memory, just like you're saying, is not only, you know, audio, but it's also visual, it's also tactile in the fact that you're holding that book in your hand and you might remember how the leather felt, how the pages were yellowed and how they kind of crinkled when you turn them. There's so much that goes into that. And on an e-reader, every book feels the same. Every book smells the same. So that tactile feel of the printed book does have more to it than just, me being old school, but the fact that, you know, there is a difference in your memory in the way you'll remember that.
It is true. And I think also that not only a difference in it, but somehow when you're reading a book, you kind of your imagination is flowing and you have all your senses open. So when you remember not just the moment that you're reading with your parent, or when you're sharing a story with somebody, you know, when in group readers, or you're just talking about the story, but also on how you imagined it. And that's something that a TV movie or a movie theater cannot give you, cannot open that creativity, because they're serving you everything. And there's no room for you to create yourself in your mind, I think. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm a big proponent of that in my writing, in that I love description, but if you over-describe, you don't leave any opportunity for the reader to bring in their own experiences and to become more relatable to it, in that when things are done in more of a summary level, the reader has the capability of kind of filling in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
And how they choose to fill in the blanks is going to be different for every single person, and yet the overall story will remain the same.
Mm-hmm. And it gives a customized experience for every individual, I think.
Absolutely.
That's the beauty of books, yeah. Mark, I want to mention that you will have a website coming for your fans to visit you, and that is for our readers in a month or so. Go ahead and visit www.thestolenadventure.com. So in the meantime, where can they find this book?
The Stolen Adventure is actually part of a series, and the first two books, The Stolen Adventure and The Quest for Cortana, have been released and are available in both the Kindle version as well as the print book via Amazon. Mm-hmm. And you can find that by either searching my name, Mark Woolard, or by searching The Stolen Adventure or The Quest for Cortana. And the third book is actually in the it has just been passed over to the editor, and that process, of course, can take a while, but we are targeting a fall release for the third book in the series.
Mm-hmm. And you have these books available in both formats, ebook and printed book?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, great. Tell me a little bit, how do you find that the literary world is moving now with the Internet? Do you think that this is a good thing, or... for readers, in the reader's point of view, is this a good thing, how literature is evolving on the Internet, or what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I certainly call myself a writer, but I've been a reader for a long, long time and still, you know, a very active reader. And the number of the depth and breadth of material that is now available is really phenomenal. And the number of authors that I've come across that did not go the traditional publishing route, and, you know, that you don't find on the bookshelves of Barnes & Noble, but actually are finding through the Internet and then through different reader groups that will share, you know, their reviews and introduce you to those new opportunities. It's really phenomenal that there's really so much out there, and there's something for everyone. And if you're an avid reader like myself, there's even more out there, you know, for you to find. So it's the Internet in and of itself has been a phenomenal tool in its capability to search and segment, but the Internet age and era in the publishing world has really opened up a lot of new opportunities for authors. Mm-hmm. And new experiences for readers.
I agree. I remember many times I would get frustrated when I would see the school summer literature, because I felt that I've always been ahead of my own. You know, I would just always do whatever I wanted to learn, and very curious and inquisitive. And my kids are the same way. So I always felt limited when it came to the summer readings that I would see. They were all, in my eyes, more or less the same. I wanted my kids to get firsthand stories. I'm into the young adult you want to say sharing of a personal experience of other people that had an interesting life, for example. So anything based on real life, I love historical fiction and stuff like that. So I wanted to see more of that, and at that time there wasn't much of it. And the Internet to me was like the holy grail of the human experience sharing, because all these stories from people that, you know, grew up in the war, or that, you know, that came from Africa, or the what, all these stories of real adventures are coming out. And sometimes, unfortunately, the indies don't have the experience and the budget of the traditional publisher, and so the product may not be perfect because there might be some editing issues or et cetera. So I'm an advocate of helping, and that's why I do what I do. But the stories are amazing, you know, and for a person oriented on the marketing of the story to make a decision, and so for a marketing background person to make a decision whether or not this story was going to be shared really bothered me all throughout my life. So I think that that's where the internet was a blessing, that all these stories are being shared. But I find it also a blessing that people like you are writing things that you were in a mission to help reluctant readers because of your own experience. And so you found a wonderful tool that is helping you with your kids, and you're sharing that for other parents who are going with the same predicament that you did. So I think that internet can be a blessing and not just a way to disconnect kids from their parents because they're always on the internet.
Yeah, and I think that all things, you know, in moderation, and the internet is such a fabulous tool, and just like you said, as far as what's done for making things available to readers is really phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to portray it in any way that I was down on the internet or technology for that matter, just that there needs to be a separation and that there needs to be, you know, all things in moderation in order to truly grow as individuals.
We're getting close to the end of our time, but I wanted to find out from you. This is a question I always ask to all my authors when I interview them, and I'm really curious about what do you want for these young readers that are reading your stories? If they come out with a message out of your books or an experience out of your book, what do you wish that to be?
Well, I think the thing that has impacted me the most is when other parents have come up to me and said, my son or my daughter has never really been an avid reader, but as soon as they finished your book, all they could say is, I can't wait for the next one to come out. And, of course, as an author, that's really complimentary because, obviously, you reach them. But as a parent, you know, you want nothing more than the best for your kids. And you know that reading is fundamental to their success in the real world, that if they are going to really get ahead, they're going to need a certain acumen in reading comprehension. And if I can help in just some small way in helping a child reach that level, that's everything to me. I really set out to do that for my own kids, and it's been very well received by other kids, and that includes, you know, reading specialists and librarians, and, you know, really the feedback that I've received has been, you know, very positive.
And I really wish you luck with this book series. I think that it's wonderful that will help kids find enjoyment on reading. Because I've seen the reviews as well, and I realize that that's one of the best things that I could read on some of the reviews is, like, I really enjoy this read, so, from kids. So, including Ben, who unfortunately I could not coordinate to be on this interview. So I really wish you luck. I want to let the public know and the readers where to find it again. You can Google The Stolen Adventure, and it will show up everywhere, because I've seen it myself on Google when I was trying to find your website. And also thestolenadventure.com will be up soon in about a month, and it's a place where you can meet with Mark and see be on top of everything that he does. Again, is www.thestolenadventure.com. So The Stolen Adventure, first of your book series. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. I can't wait to see the second book. I haven't gotten to see, but it's out already, and I really can't hope to see the entire series.
Oh, Susan, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And to your readers and listeners, thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you check this book out. And until next time.